Thank you, Dave. I'd like to also welcome all of you in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I want to start in 2 Timothy. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honour and some to dishonour. If any man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You know, I kind of thought about this, that you know, we sometimes think that the vessels that we are not of honor. But in that 21st verse, it says, if a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. You know, we look at other people as having the gold or the silver. You know, I don't consider myself that way. I look at myself as being unworthy and unfit in many instances. But I know that the Lord uses me every now and again. And he shows me things. And so I pray that would be for me also. And so I want you to go to Acts, the 9th chapter, and this was where Paul was blinded on the way to Damascus. And so in the 11th verse of that 9th chapter, this is where Ananias, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the kings, the Gentiles, and the kings, and the children of Israel. And then it says something really interesting. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You know, I was thought, when I turned to God, it was going to be a free ride. Everything was going to be great. He was going to fix everything for me. You know, that's not true, was it? You know, it wasn't true for Paul. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians 12th chapter. Oops. And I heard, last month, but anyway, someone quoted this scripture. And I'm going to start in the 7th verse of that 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And it says, and lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. knew what the problem was. There was no doubt in his mind what the problem was. He still asked the Lord that it would be taken from him. You know, I find in my life, we're all mentioned here in the scriptures, every one of us. It's just we're given different names. You know, that journey that you go on when you become a follower of Christ, you know, it's not guaranteed to you, is it? You know, I look at Abraham, was told to leave his family. I was a young man when I left my family. There's lots of things about our lives that actually change how we look at things. It's not by accident. You know, in this study, all wondered what it was that the thorn in the flesh was. You know, my brother Lauren Bryant, most of you have all known who he was, prisoner of war, came back, had been served the sacrament in that prisoner of war camp. You know, the only thing that most people wanted to know was it wine or was it grape juice? Broke his heart. Wasn't that God had done great things for him? Always seemed to concentrate on the wrong things. Must suffer many things for my name's sake. If you go back to the previous chapter, 11th chapter there, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labor, more abundant in stripes, more measures in prisons, more frequent in death oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 5 times. The guy's back must have just looked like. Of thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice was I suffered shipwrecked, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings, oft in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings oft, and cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of all the churches. You see, the transformation wasn't about him anymore. It was about how he could serve that God. So go back to that 9th verse in the 12th chapter. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Didn't mean anything, did it? You see, I look in the scriptures and they tell me a story of how we're supposed to be. Maturity. How do we look as far as Christianity, as far as maturity? And I'd say for the most part, not very well. It's all in it. It's about me. I want to go to 2 Kings. It's one of my favorite books anymore because it tells me a story about someone that wanted a gift and that it was given to him and how he looked after that gift. I want to go to the fourth chapter of 2 Kings, and I'm going to start in the eighth verse. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in hither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, "Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in hither." And it fell on a day that he came hither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said unto Gehazi his servant, "Call the Shunammite." And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, "Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host?" And she answered, "I dwell among my own people." And he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old." And he said, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said unto him, "About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son." And she said, "Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid." And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father's to the reapers. And he said unto his father, "My head, my head." And he said to the lad, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him, he brought him to his mother and sat on his knee till noon. And she went up and laid him on a bed. Of the man of God, and shut the door upon him and went out. Wanted something from God so important to her, and yet it was taken away from her. And so she hurries to the man of God. That's what they called him, the man of God. And so she gets there, and 27th verse, "And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away, and the man of God said, 'Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me.'" We're talking about a man that had a relationship with God, that wanted the gift of God, and yet there were some things that he wasn't allowed to see. You see, we think that being a servant of God, that everything is within your commanding of God. That's not true. And so he goes to revive this young man. Seems like it would have been easy, right? Wasn't. You see, God does things a certain way for us, and he takes away things from us It's like a piece of steel can be a hammer, right? You take it to the machine shop. There's a taking away and there's an adding to. Doesn't mean it can't be a hammer. It means that it can be a different tool, a better tool. I find in my life that God has changed me in many ways. If I hadn't moved back here, I would have never found the Church of Christ. It was a series of events. Same thing. Many times I thought about going home to New Zealand. Never be where I am spiritually. There are experiences in our lives that make us those vessels. They're not by accident. You have to assess yourself. You know, that's why I say there's an instance in the scriptures, no matter whether it's in the Book of Mormon or in the Bible, that mentions your name. The examples that are in there. But that maturity, I want you to go to Alma, the 10th chapter. And it's on page 353. And it is the 10th chapter of Alma. And I'm going to start in the 48th verse. And when Amulek saw the pain of the women and the children who were consumed in the fire, he was also pained. And he said unto Alma, how can we witness this awful scene? Therefore, let us stretch forth our hands and exercise the power of God which is in us and save them from the flames. But Alma said unto him, the Spirit constraineth me that I must not stretch forth my hands, for behold, the Lord receiveth them unto himself in glory. And he doth suffer that they may do this thing, or that the people may do this thing unto them according to the hardness of their hearts, that the judgments which he shall exercise upon them in his wrath may be just. Hard thing to watch, to justify. Our children, you know, my whole family's sick at the moment. My doctor tells me, I told him the other day, I said I was a picture of health. It's just not a very good picture. So, you know, we always think about how life affects us. You know, and being given a portion of that spirit, whether it's Ammon, whether it's Alma, understanding that there is a great responsibility and a great maturity that most of us do not have. I want to go to Helaman, third chapter, and it is page 578. 117th verse, and it says this, "And now behold, thou hast done this with such unwearyingness. Behold, I will bless thee forever, and I will make thee mighty in word and in deed, in faith and in works, yea, even that all things shall be done unto thee according to thy word. For thou shalt not ask that which is contrary to my will." That's a really interesting piece of scripture right there. I have to have that kind of relationship with your God that you know his will. No different than Alma. "Behold, thou art Nephi, and I am God. Behold, I declare it unto thee in the presence of mine angels, that ye shall have the power over this people, and shall smite the earth with famine, and with pestilence, and with destruction, according to the wickedness of this people. Behold, I give unto you power, that whatsoever ye shall seal on earth shall be sealed in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and thus shall ye have power among this people." It's quite a gift, isn't it? You know, I've asked people, God poured out his spirit upon you and gave you an incredible gift like that, how would you handle it? You know, you'd be surprised at the answers I get. Oh, I wouldn't want that. You see, it's a responsibility most people don't want. Satisfied with the crumbs sometimes. You know, I'm the best judge of myself. I know that sounds kind of odd, but I know the guy better than anyone else knows him. I see all his faults, and I see his weaknesses, and I see the things that keep him from that kind of relationship, that all-in, that relationship that, you know, is like nothing else. You ever wonder why Enoch was taken? And this is just an opinion. Right, it said he walked and he talked with God. So God took him. You know, the closer you get to God, the less you have in common with mankind, even your brothers and sisters in church, because you just see things a little differently, a little clearer. Becomes really lonely. Not satisfied with that kind of relationship, are we? I think about Alma, the 14th chapter, and it is page 394. Actually, I'm going to start the page before, 393. And it is 14th chapter of Alma, and I'm going to start in the 46th verse. "And thus we see that when these Lamanites were brought to believe and to know the truth, they were firm and would suffer even death, even unto death, rather than commit sin. Well, they buried the weapons of war for peace. And it came to pass that their brethren, the Lamanites, made preparations for war and came up to the land of Nephi for the purpose of destroying the king and to place another in his stead, and also of destroying the people of Anti-Nephi, Lehi, out of the land. Now when the people saw that they were coming against them, they went out to meet them and prostrated themselves before them to the earth and began to call on the name of the Lord. And thus they were in an attitude when the Lamanites began to fall upon them and began to slay them with sword. And thus, without meeting any resistance, they did slay 1,005 of them. And we know that they are blessed, for they have gone to dwell with their God. Now when the Lamanites saw that their brethren would not flee from the sword, neither would they turn aside to the right hand or to the left, but that they would lie down and perish and praise God, even in the very act of perishing under the sword. Now when the Lamanites saw this, they did forbear from slaying them. And there were many whose hearts had swollen in them for those of their brethren who had fallen under the sword, for they repented of the things which they had done. And it came to pass that they threw down their weapons of war, and they would not take them up again, for they were stung from the murders which they had committed. And they came down even as their brethren, relying upon the mercies of those whose arms were lifted up to slay them. And it came to pass that the people of God were joined that day by more than the number who had been slain. And those who had been slain were righteous people. Therefore we have no reason to doubt but that they are saved. And there was not a wicked man slain among them, but there were more than 1,000 brought to the knowledge of the truth. Thus we see that the Lord worketh in many ways to the salvation of people. You know, I read that, and I think about what those guys seen with Ammon and the king, that their hearts had been changed, that they no longer wished to do any type of evil. Can you imagine how great that must have been? That it would change your life in that kind of way. You know, I look back on my life and I see some of the changes. A friend of mine just passed away not that long ago, just a couple of weeks ago. He was the last guy that, from my old church. He was our pastor. Good man. Those guys, they loved me into the gospel. It's like a blank sheet of paper. Didn't know anything about God. But he poured out his spirit upon me in great measure. And it changed me to where I wanted him in my life more than anything else. Just like Elisha. Haven't done a very good job. Can do so much more. But I know that God uses us through our weaknesses, just like there in 2 Corinthians, we have that opportunity before us. You know, like I say, my story of how I got to this point, you know, it's my story, my journey, my stripes. You know, also seeing myself leaving here. Thought it would have been before, but it doesn't really matter. You know, I find that being accessible to God, being willing to be subjected to no matter what it is an uncomfortable place. Because, you know, that old man that still lives within me, I try and kill him every day. Because it's the new man, it's the new vessel, it's the one that has to be purged, is the one that is so important to be that instrument in the hands of God. Just a last thought. Actually, and I want to use the scripture, and it's not. That's why I say I never. And I want to go to 6th chapter of 2 Nephi. And I want to explain this first. You know, I appreciate our young men and our ministry that have tried to help us as a church. And I want you to consider this. You know, salvation, it's a gift, isn't it? But it's one that comes from Christ. The church doesn't give it, although it's inferred in many ways that that's where it comes from. But it's not. It comes from Christ. And I want to start in the verse 80, and it says, "Remember that his paths are righteousness. Behold, the way for man is narrow, but it lieth in a straight course before him. And the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel, and he employeth no servant there. And there is none other way save it be by the gate, for he cannot be deceived, for the Lord God is his name." Sure ruins a lot of St. Peter jokes and all the rest of those things. But is my God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that I have to say is the one that I hope to be led by. Keeper of the gate. And so he is my focus more than anything else. And at the visitor center, like Dave said, that's whom I preach. It's not about all the other things. How people come, you know, the Lord knows. Uses the magnets, the artifacts, and those things. But it gives me great opportunities. You want those opportunities, you have to ask. Spirit of God is not given to you just because of who you are. You have to ask. James, the 4th chapter, the 3rd verse, you receive not because you ask amiss. Or I'll add to it, or you don't ask, or you're satisfied with the answers that you have. It all depends on your relationship that you want to have with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Cultivate that relationship, that you might be found worthy to be that vessel. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you, Brother Trevor, for that message. A good message this day that we need to take.